And welcome back to Extreme Genes, America's Family History Show. Fisher here, the Radio Root Sleuth, and always excited to talk to people with a fascinating family background, especially when it affects them to this very day after generations. And my next guest fits that bill to the T. Her name is Marjorie Adams. She's in Connecticut, not far from my old stomping grounds where I grew up in southwestern Connecticut. Marjorie, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Scott. It's nice to be here.
Well, Marjorie, a few years back, within the last 10, started getting involved with their family history because you grew up with this story in the background, and you didn't even know that lots of other people were aware of who your ancestor was. Let's talk about him a little bit, Marjorie. What was his relationship, and what was his name?
His name was Daniel Lucius Adams, M.D., and he was my great-grandfather. He was born in 1814 and died in 1899.
And as an M.D., that's where he got the nickname Doc.
Absolutely.
Doc Adams. And Doc had an interesting side passion. And what was that?
And that was baseball in New York City.
And that's really where baseball originated, with the New York Knickerbockers especially creating the game and creating the excitement around it that drew lots of crowds and eventually led to professional baseball and, to this day, the major leagues.
Well, yes, except I need to clarify, baseball in some form existed long before his team.
Right.
There's so much evidence of a form of baseball being played in New Jersey before that.
Right.
In Massachusetts, where it was sort of a different form.
Town ball.
There are even prints from France in the Middle Ages of people hitting a ball with a stick.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really a very old game. But what Doc's team did was make it really important.
Yes, that's right. And he made it popular.
Yes.
And he also took the rules from their little league and made it kind of the standard for the game. And
yes,
this is what makes him very important. And let's go through what some of these rules are, Marjorie.
Sure. Well, first of all, he created the position of shortstop.
Wow. Derek Jeter, are you listening?
Yes, I hope so. And a whole lot of other people. Yes, he created the position of shortstop. It first shows up in the team records in late 1849. And he made all the balls for the team as well. But the balls were very light, so you could hit it quite a distance, but you couldn't throw it very far.
Right.
So the shortstop position became a relay position. And as the equipment improved, the shortstop position moved in to where it is today.
Right, an extra fielder.
Yes.
Other than the baseman. Got that.
Absolutely.
Okay,
yep.
What are some of the other rules he created?
He was the first head of the first three rules committees in New York City, starting with his own team in 1848, and then three other conventions that were held between 1853 and 1858. And he was the one who set the bases at 90 feet. He did that calculation.
Wow. He's the genius we always hear talked about. Wow, whoever came up with 90 feet, it's perfect.
Absolutely.
It was Doc Adams.
That was right. That was Red Smith back in the 1950s said that.
Mm-hmm.
The 90 feet between bases is the closest man has ever come to perfection.
That's right.
And that was Doc.
Yep.
He did preside over the convention that passed the rule for 9 men, 9 innings. He was an advocate for that, a very early advocate for that. He also tried very hard to change the game to exclusively a fly game.
Right.
In those days, an out would be counted if the ball was caught on the first bounce.
Right, that's right.
He didn't like that. He didn't think it was very manly.
In fact, there were certain games, particular games, that were played just with what they called the fly rule as an exception from the usual rule, which was one bounce.
Yes, and the two rules existed side by side mid to late 60s. It did not pass while he was involved with the game, and he always was very sorry about that. And he did predict in his last speech before the convention, the rules committee, that eventually that fly game rule would pass. And it did.
And it did. And it's the standard to this very day.
Absolutely.
All right. Now let's talk about your involvement. You grew up knowing the stories about him. You have some of his memorabilia, some letters. You have pieces of his uniform. Did that mean much to you as you were growing up?
Yes and no. I love American history. So from an American history standpoint, yes, it meant a great deal. But I never really delved into it until 4 years ago. We do have an essay that my grandfather, Doc's youngest son, wrote in 1939, his memories of his father. And in 1980, you might recall, someone by the name of Nelson Doubleday purchased the New York Mets.
Right.
And that brought the Abner Doubleday myth back to the surface again.
Which is just that, a myth.
It is a myth indeed. And my nephew, Nathan Adams Downey, was about 12 years old at the time, and he wrote a long letter to the New York Times, completely dispelling the Doubleday myth and quoting from this essay that my grandfather had written. And God bless the New York Times. They published the entire letter.
And that kind of brought Doc into the public knowledge at that point.
Yes, that was probably the real kickoff. But then it sort of lay dormant, at least as far as we were concerned. And then in the late 90s, I went to a vintage baseball game here in Connecticut with my late mother and my nephew, Nate. And I met these two lovely baseball historians. And they knew all about Doc Adams. I was astonished.
Yeah,
I didn't know anybody would know the name. I didn't think anybody would care.
Yeah, I understand. But baseball people, though, are unique, as I know you know now.
Oh, I do.
Yeah.
And they're wonderful.
Yes.
Particularly those who play vintage baseball.
Well, because they understand the ancient history, the 150 years ago thing. Well, let's talk really quickly here about the Hall of Fame thing. Doc was up for a Hall of Fame vote just a month or so ago, if that. And he needed 12 votes out of 16, and he wound up with 10, which to me as a baseball fan, I was very disappointed because I feel he should be in the Hall of Fame.
Well, thank you, Scott. So do I. So do a lot of other people. But it was his first time on the ballot.
Right.
And he got more votes than anybody.
Yes, that's right.
So I'm very grateful. But believe me, in 2018, when this committee meets again, he's going to get more than the 12.
Well, Doc Adams was born in 1814. It is now 201 years later, and you are still out there talking about your ancestor. He's changed your life. Talk a little about that.
It's all I've done for the last 4 years, is study Doc Adams. I'm very blessed that my great aunt, Doc's eldest daughter, transcribed all the letters written to Doc by his father. We have very little of what Doc wrote in response, almost nothing. But you can learn a lot about the man by the letters that his own father wrote him.
Right.
And that has been a wonderful resource for understanding the man, learning what he was about, even though I have almost nothing written by him.
Yes.
And I have spent the last 4 years reading and rereading those letters.
And promoting Doc for the Hall of Fame.
And promoting Doc any chance I get. I'm positively shameless about it.
And you know what, Marjorie? God bless you. I'm sure he's up there looking down on you saying, go get him, Marjorie.
Well, he was not a man to promote himself, but it's the right thing to do because Doc should be in the Hall of Fame.
He absolutely should be. What a delight it is to chat with you, and I wish we had more time to get into this, not only from the family history side of it, but you know I'm a big baseball nut myself.
Well, we have a website, docadamsbaseball.org.
And baseball aficionados can check that out. And Marjorie, good luck with your quest to get him into the Hall, and we're going to be keeping an eye on this in the years ahead.
Thank you, Scott, so much. I appreciate it.
And coming up next, we're going to talk to Tom Perry from TMCPlace.com. He's our preservation authority, talking about how you can preserve your precious heirlooms on Extreme Genes, America's Family History Show.